About a health sector anymore, it's about the country as a whole and its people. And therefore, how best do we ensure that we try our level best to ensure that we are empowered by challenge, we are empowered, we learn from those challenges, and we then correct that situation. And that, I think we need to, I always like to express this thing that you're not here for the sake of coming here, but you are here to also empower this committee in terms of the presentation of them, and you are also going to be empowered in terms of questions that are going to be asked. And we will then be, there will be questions, there will be comments, there will be some statements, all the things that we think that we are to, because mental illness, it's a global phenomenon. But our people, you can't go and tell people in Northwest that, no, this thing is a global thing. They're not interested in that. They're interested in what is affecting them at that time. But we zoom in our country that how best then can we ensure that we are not then faced with the situation that has engulfed us. So we are in that space now. But I see there are three people at the back that they didn't introduce themselves. I will start from the lady and then to the last gentleman, and then after that, the MEC will come in with his team for introduction.
Good morning. My name is Tamar Khan from Business Day newspaper.
Indeed.
The two have introduced themselves. That's Acting Chief Director Infrastructure, Mr. Cameron Mchwana. And the other gentleman is Mr. Dibodu, the manager in the Insurance Office.
All right, MEC, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We are really honored to be here today. If you don't mind, I'm feeling hot. Can I take off my jacket? It's not a sign of fighting. Thank you.
Or panic.
We may just as well as a form of background to say that the two ladies that the portfolio committee asked us to take to school have gone to school in Vomaros, by Chairperson. We felt that's a very good, it's very important for us to report. As a form of background, we may summarize the background just to say that we represent 6.7% of South Africa's total population. And the Northwest is 60% a rural province, and that for every 100 women, there's 104 men. Okay? So that's the province, and those are the population statistics. Let's go to the introduction. Mental health services in the province are provided in line with the Mental Health Act and the National Mental Health Policy Framework and Strategic Plan of 2013 to 2020. There are two specialized hospitals, two designated hospitals, and two 70-hour observation units. The department has also licensed three private hospitals that provide mental health services. At community level, the services are integrated into primary health care, and there are no NGOs licensed to provide mental health care. And the next thing that we are going to be talking about is the state of mental health care services in the province. Mental health services are organized in line with the Mental Health Care Act. I've already said that, Act 17 of 2002, that there are the two mental health specialized hospitals are Bopilon Psychiatric Hospital and Veterans Hospital for Intellectual Disability. The package of services for both Veterans and Bopilon hospitals are there. Veterans, you've got intellectual disability, general psychiatry for designated status, child and adolescent psychiatry, psychogeriatric services, physical medicine and rehabilitation, acute psychiatric services plus psychiatric OPD. In Bopilon, we have almost the same thing, acute psychiatric services, subacute psychiatric services, forensic observation, which you do not have at Veteran, state patients, which you do not have at Veteran, long-term rehabilitation services, psychogeriatric services, mentally ill prisoner services, adult and child adolescent OPD. Let's look at the mental health beds in specialized hospitals. In Veteran, approved beds are 982, we're using 851, and the bed utilization is 81.6%. In Bupilo, we've got 368 approved beds. We're using 282. And the planned new hospital is 384. And the old hospital is at 87.6%. Bed distribution by specialty at the old Bupilo hospital, acute care, general psychiatry, acute care, we've got 72 approved. We use 51 beds. Medium to long-term stay, 147 approved. We use 120. Forensic mental health services, mental observation, 10 approved. We use 10. Acute stage patients, 65. We use 65. Medium to long-term stage patients, 74. And we use 36. So the total of approved beds is 368, and the used beds is 282. Bed distribution by specialty at the new Bupilo hospital continues. General psychiatry, acute 90 beds, medium long stay 120, long term 24. Forensic psychiatry, acute 60, medium long stay 70, and mental observation 20, a total of 384. Veteran distribution, acute physical medicine and rehabilitation, number of beds approved 15, number of beds used 15. Acute psychiatry 116, approved, number of beds used 116. Medium to long term intellectual disability, number of beds approved 851, and number of beds used 720. Chronic psychiatry nothing. Total of number of beds approved 982, number of used beds 851. Daum Hospital, we've got 20 acute psychiatric beds. In Job Shimogar, we've got 60 acute psychiatric beds. Private hospitals, we've got multi-care hospital in Potchefstroom, 26 beds. Voluntary care, PACMED, 60 beds in Tlaxtop, and Khatelopele Wellness in Mahikeng, 50 beds. Units for 72, our assessment in general hospitals, there are units in general hospitals listed to provide 72 hour assessments to exclude physical and medical conditions as prescribed by the mental health. Now, two hospitals, in addition to the two specialized hospitals, are currently listed for 72-hour assessments. Sepo Hospital at 10 beds, Mafikeng 26 beds. Primary health care services. Primary care services for mental health are provided as an integral part of primary health care. These would be ambulatory visits from patients either discharged from hospitals to community care or initiated on treatment within primary care. Currently, mental health coordinators are appointed in 11 of the 19 sub-districts. An ideal situation would be to have a mental health coordinator per sub-district to champion the preventative and promotive aspect of mental health care in the area of jurisdiction. This ideal situation has always been difficult due to shortage of personnel. Community-based mental health services. Community mental health services include community residential care, including assisted living and group homes, and daycare services. The province does not have any NGO licensed to provide community mental health services. The initial number of beds planned for the new Bupilo Psychiatric Hospital was 648. However, this was reduced to 384 to cater for community component of the mental health services in line with the mental health legislation policy and norms. The 264 beds that were reduced from the new hospital have been allocated to different sub-districts as community residential facilities of halfway houses. The first 60-bed community mental health care center has just been completed in Dr. K.K. Kaunda district. The second 20-bed facility is under construction at Bitiko near Rustenburg. Mm-hmm. Now we've got planned community residential beds per district, and the number of beds decentralized from Bupilo Psychiatric Hospital is 264. A number of planned community residential beds as per the norms is 464. So that's the future. That's the plan. Proceed. Coordination of services at provincial level. The mental health program falls under the Directorate of Health Programs and is managed at director level with all other programs related to non-communicable diseases. In other words, it's not a standalone. It's part of a programmatic approach. The post nature has provided for three managers at deputy and two assistant directors level, and the latter two of who are responsible for administration of the Mental Health Review Board, and the two posts are currently vacant. The National Mental Health Policy Framework and Strategic Plan adopted by all MECs and the Minister of Health advised that all provinces should have a directorate for mental health headed by a director. This has not been possible due to budgetary constraints. Coordination at district level, the National Mental Health Policy Framework, and strategic plan require a mental health district specialist team to be established within each district. The terms of reference of these teams is contained in the policy framework. It's been established in the province due to resource constraints. It has not been established as yet, and 11 of the 19 sub-districts have mental health coordinators. We now have a mental health review board. The province has one provincial mental health review board, which was first appointed in 2007 in line with the Mental Health Care Act requirements. It has four persons that include one legal person, two mental health care practitioners, and one community member, and it's appointed every 3 years. Contracts were extended every 2 years. Current contract expires this month, end of this month. Advertisement made on national and local newspapers, shortlisting and interviews conducted. Appointment letters have already been issued, and new board members are to start on the 1st of April 2017. I personally signed those letters, Chairperson, so I'm fully aware. Schedule of meetings, members meet weekly every Wednesday for 2 to 4 hours, depending on the workload, and the board caters for all the four districts. The functions of the board, they screen all documents from all four mental health hospitals, admissions, discharge, transfers, leave of absence, periodic reviews and appeals. They conduct support visits to hospitals providing mental health services to check compliance, and they conduct in-service training during their visits. Number of veteran hospital, the total was 114, Potchefstroom 35, Sepong Hospital, Flagstaff Hospital 1, Sepong 1, the ones referred to Barra 1, the ones referred to Mediclinic in Porch 1, the one referred at home, the one that died at home over the weekend leave was 1, a total of 154 over a period of 5 years. Number of deaths at Bupilong by year, the total of 11 over a period of 5 years, and the total of 13, only 2 died at home. So there's a total of 13 over a period of 5 years. Causes of death in general, all patients in veteran and Bupilong died of medical conditions. The details are available, but we can share with you that it's generally pneumonia. So some of them are immunocompromised and they die of pneumonia. Monthly morbidity and mortality meetings take place and cases are discussed. Depending on the need, cases are referred to district and provincial patient safety group and corrective measures are taken where applicable. Extract of staff establishment of Bupilong and Veteran Hospital is attached. Total posts, we've got professional nurse, 105 in Bupilong, medical specialist 2, medical officers 10, clinical psychologist 9, social worker 7, occupational therapist 1. What we are demonstrating is a team approach. It's not only the psychiatrists and the nurses, but we have psychologists, we have occupational therapists, and we've got medical officers. In veteran, it's the same approach. Professional nurses, 158 medical specialists, medical officers, and most of the posts are filled, a total of 28. Proceed. The budget and expenditure trends of Bupilong and Veteran. In 2013-14, we spent 101% at Bupilong and at Veteran 107% of the total budget. I can see there's Bupilong again, 2013-14 there, 94%. But where is it? Why is it not in the same line? You know? Sorry, Chatterson. 2014-15, you've got Bupilong there at 100%. You've got, Veteran at 100%. You've got Bupilong at 98%. 15-16, Veteran at 99%. 16-17, Bupilong. Now, this is this year. This is up to the third quarter, so it's not a complete year yet. Mm. At Bupilong, we're at 69%. At Veteran, we've got 78%. The key challenge is inability to recruit and retain psychiatrists and other scarce skills, not only psychiatrists, due to the rurality of the province. Most professionals want to be the big lights of Cape Town and Gauteng. Our paper abafuna ukuhlala, so abahlali ixesha elide siyazama ukuba mabahlale, but it's always normally a challenge. Inadequate funding affects expansion of community mental health units, halfway houses and services, and infrastructural challenges. In conclusion, Chairperson, The Northwest Department of Health believes that the World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not only the absence of disease or infirmity, for health services to be responsive to the needs of communities. Mental health should therefore be central to planning and delivery of health services. Thank you. Oh, we've got pictures. There's Veteran Hospital. As you enter Veteran Hospital, that will be the gate as you come, Chairperson, when you visit in through two, 3 months. You will see that entrance, then you will know that you've arrived in Veteran Hospital. That's the psychogeriatric unit at Veteran Hospital. It's a new block. The Bophelong Hospital, re go solofetsa maemo a a kwa godimo a ditirelo tsa pholo. That's our promise as you enter our hospital. That's the old one. The old Bophelong Psychiatric Hospital. Those are the gates. Proceed. And these are the patients' recreation day at Bophelong Psychiatric Hospital. They play soccer now. That's the new one. It's not yet complete. We hope to complete it by the end of this year. The new Bophelong Psychiatric Hospital. You can see the pictures there. That's the residential area. The town district hospital designated 20 beds. Those are psychiatric patients. The community mental health care center, Dr. KK. It's a new one. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, MEC. Honorable members, there's the presentation. Questions, clarities, comments? Honorable Mabanga, Honorable Kosa, Honorable James, Honorable Maisela, Honorable Mahlalela, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the honorable members of the House, the MEC and the ESA department, the media people. Chairperson, let me firstly welcome the presentation. Chair, after a look at the presentation, I have these issues to raise. The first one, Chair, it's on the introduction on slide 7. It has been stated that there are no NGOs licensed to provide mental health services. Has anything been done to address the issue, seeing that the NGOs also play a vital role in the local community? Then, on slide 26, Chair, it's with regard primary health care services. It is also stated that current mental health coordinators were appointed in only 11 of the 19 sub-districts. The questions there are how those areas coping in terms of service delivery, and how long has this situation been likely to? What are the causes to such a situation, and how can it be corrected? On slide 30, Chair, it's with regard to coordination of services at provincial level. The National Mental Health Policy Framework and Strategy Plan adopted by all MECs and the Minister of the Department of Health advised that all provinces should have a directorate for mental health headed by a director. This has not been possible due to budgetary constraints. Is there a possibility that the budgetary constraint will be lifted in future? Moving to slide 35, it talks to the numbers of deaths at its veteran or veteran by year. The question there, Chair, is what are the reasons for such high rate of mortality, especially in veteran and Pochestrum hospitals? Can the detail be viewed of if available? Such numbers are alarming, especially since 2012 and 2017. And roughly, what is the population surrounding these two facilities? Chairperson, I submit them.
Honorable Kosa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, MEC, for the presentation. It is a good presentation. Sometimes when presentations are good, they happen to be not reflecting, because with this presentation, it doesn't mention much of the challenges. I don't know what is really happening in the province. They don't have much challenges. It is very important when we do presentation, one is more interested much is on challenges, so that we'll be able to see as to how do we assist, where do we come in to assist the province. However, it is a good presentation. I'm having these two issues to raise with you, MEC. You, since it's indicated that there are no NGOs unlicensed providing mental health care, what are the minimum level of training provided to those that are working in the primary health care? Because we expect them to be those that at least are trained to be able to look at the issue. The last issue is with regard to the vacant post in Bupilong and Vetra. The vacant posts that are there are reported to be funded. What are the challenges to ensure that all those vacant posts are filled? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I was going to focus on exactly the same question of the filling of vacancies, because it's very clear that in the case of Bopalong, you have 18 professional nurse positions vacant out of 505. And in the case of Vitrant, it's 32 out of 158, and that's very large. And so could you tell us exactly what the status is of the effort to fill those vacancies? Are there people being hired? What is the process that you are following in terms of appointing people to fill those vacancies? Because clearly these are set ratios by population of patients. So if you have a shortage of nurses, the people who suffer would be the patients. And you also have, in the case of Vitran, 6 out of 13 clinical psychologist positions vacant. That's very large. And so all of these questions indicate you compromise patient care by not having a plan and strategy for filling vacant posts. And these are funded posts. So it's not a question of money. It's a question of putting qualified people into those positions. If we can have some detail on exactly what's happening with the status of filling those positions, please.
Honorable James, I didn't see you.
Thank you, Chair. People are never called to account for good things they are doing. They are normally called to account for the bad things they are doing. And I don't say you are doing bad things, but here it's all nice. There is nothing bad. You have no challenges here. So you came to tell us everything is fine, you are doing well. So we thought you would have got a lot of challenges which you would have liked us to help you solve. But since you have no challenges, we may just say, well done. But maybe then we have a few questions for you. There is somebody who stayed about 24 years, how many years? There are 22 people who have longest stay in one of your facilities here. Are they there because they are not known who they are or where to send them? Or they are just there because now they became part of the facilities? And then, do you have mental health coordinators? Or if not, when are you going to have them to ensure that you have them? And what is the excuse if you're not having them? Yeah. Mental review board you say you have, maybe check whether it's legal, the number of mental health review board, and whether it's legal or you have exceeded your legal allowance. And who do they report to and who appoint them? You said they are appointed. Who appoint them and who do they report or they are answerable to? Do you have district mental health specialist teams? If you don't have, why are you not having them? Considering that it's already 22, more than 22 years we've been in this business, and we can't keep on saying, no, we'll do it next year, next time. We will do it next time. Last year could have been a better time to do them instead of next year. What is the state of the infrastructure of the mental health facility and structure? And is it adequately staffed? Then what is the security status of these facilities? Are they secured as they should be? Especially thinking that you say they are intellectually impaired people. They may hurt themselves or hurt other people if there is with no adequate security. The rest we can only ask on what you say were your challenges. If we are trying to find out whether these are challenges or if we knew what your challenges were, we would be able to say, how do we help you to sort them out? Thank you.
I'm not okay. I will make sure to step by somebody. It's going to be Honorable Mashalela, then the last was Honorable James, then I saw Honorable Snokonyan. Please, good people, because you. So it's Honorable Mashalela, Honorable James, and Honorable Snokonyan.
No. Thanks. And let me join colleagues to welcome the report is presented by the MEC and the team. Just raise a few issues. One, how do you reconcile the budgetary constraint vis-a-vis the failure to fill vacancies? Why in March? Which means this has been budgeted from the 1st of April last year. Well, already at the end of the financial year. Those posts have not been filled. But you talk of a budgetary constraint. It doesn't reconcile to me. Because you can't fill, for example, you can't establish a directorate because of budgetary constraint. But you can't at the same time fill positions that we have budgeted from the 1st of April. For 12-month cycle period, you are unable to fill them. And there's no explanation why you can't get professional nurses or what. But the other issue is that I'm not sure, because let me see, you didn't talk about the budget itself. There is a slide here that deals with the budget. I don't even remember you saying anything about it. That slide says, I don't know from, because it doesn't say for which period is this budget. In terms of the expenditure, whether the expenditure is of last month, it's February, or it's of December, or it's of January, I don't know. But there is that slide, as I'm saying, there's the problem that the other problem that you have, the presentation doesn't 100% relate to what we have. I'm saying the presentation doesn't relate exactly. So it was a struggle to look and compare on what is in the presentation and what we've received from yourself. But that as it may, if you look below, this, I don't know, as I'm saying, I don't know when was it. It was at 69%. Which if it was February, then it's underspending. That's why I don't know, I would just make an assumption that the latest figure should be February figure. And if it's a February figure, then it means it is underspending, but they've got the budgetary constraint. The same thing applies if it's veteran, if it is under, if it's also February. As I'm saying, I'm making an assumption, but I don't know this figure from which was the last month of the expenditure. It's 78%, which also represents underspending if I take it for granted that it is February, because by in terms of the linear expenditure, by December it should be at 75%, the linear expenditure. But all of them are below that if you take it that it is February. As I'm saying, I don't know, because it doesn't, you've not said anything in your presentation and it doesn't make. Can you just indicate so that we're able to understand that? And then, as I'm saying, the presentation might have been improved at some point, because the figures, for example, at VET rent on vacancies vis-a-vis the field vis-a-vis the total post, they don't talk to each other. The one that we have, I don't know whether there's a new figure there in the presentation. It doesn't talk to each other, because you've got field, which is 126, 32, it's still the same, yeah. 32 funded and 32 vacant, and the total is 158. When you add 3264 and 126, it gives a far higher figure. Because 3232 is 64 plus 26, it gives 190 out of 158. I don't know which is which there. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up, that figure. So I'm not sure which is correct there. Because there's no correlations of the figures there. Let me come to the issues. You have indicated correctly. So let me say that you are providing mental health in line with the Mental Health Act, but also in line with the National Mental Health Policy Framework and Strategic Plan for 2020. I've been eagerly waiting to hear you in your presentation dealing with what is in this plan. And I found it difficult to find any. Let me just illustrate. One illustration is that firstly you need to have one of the focus areas is promotion and prevention. I didn't hear you saying anything around that. That's what one, and for you to have this promotion and prevention, it means first and foremost, you must then be able to have done a research to understand what are the causes, what are the main causes of mental health in your province. So that based on that understanding the causes, then you're able to develop a promotion and prevention plan. I didn't hear that. I'm not sure what are the main causes of mental illness in the province, and therefore what promotion and prevention strategies and plans have you put in place so that you're able to deal with that matter in line with this plan. I'm just demonstrating some of the issues. The second issue, for example, your intersectoral collaboration. We don't know whom you are working. There's no reflection in your presentation. As part of this plan, because you're saying you're implementing this plan, it says there must be intersectoral collaboration. We have not said anything about that. The issue of advocacy. I'm just mentioning a few. There's a lot of them. Monitoring and evaluation. How do you monitor and evaluate the whole mental health system in the province? So that because the plan says provinces must develop mechanisms and systems of monitoring and evaluation. This is what this plan says. I would have expected that you're going to tell us what systems, what mechanism have you put in place to ensure monitoring and evaluation from time, so that we don't find ourselves one day being shocked like we got shocked by what happened in Gauteng as a result of that. So I'm just mentioning a few. There's a lot of issues that are there, which I would have expected that if, as you say here, you are providing this mental health based on this plan, your report should not have been abstract from this plan, because it was developed in 2013. The expectation is that now, almost 4 years down the line, there should be some progress and some reporting around should be at least be informed by how far are we making in relation to this plan. But I didn't get that sense on that area in terms of implementation of the plan and the extent to which you are achieving some of the things that the plan wants us to achieve, and where we're unable to achieve, what are the bottlenecks, what are the challenges beyond the infrastructure, because the only main challenge that we've reflected is mainly the infrastructure challenges, which is cutting across. I'm sure the National Department is noting that, because every presentation that we've received thus far, infrastructure is a big problem. So we hope that you are taking note of that, the National Department, and you'll have to develop some systems and plans to assist provinces to begin to deal with these challenges of infrastructure, because most of the infrastructure were built during the period in which mental health was never a priority at all. It was always on the sideline. And we want to see that being lifted and being implemented in line with it. With this plan and the national and the WHO is framework, so that we're able therefore to meet the requirements in terms of the principles that are required. So that's my general comment here in and also the issues that I thought the department of the province would have lifted up as part of their presentation, which I found it missing, unfortunately. That's
Honourable James Lungiswa. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation. I think my colleagues have covered me in most of the questions that I want to raise, but I have a few to ask. One is, in page 19, the bed distribution by specialty,
at the Mopelong Hospital. Under forensic mental health services, mental observation, 10 approved, 10 used beds. So is the acute state patients, or the faster. Is there a waiting list? Is it their own? And how do you deal with the waiting list? Because surely it's not 10 only. That is the first question. I think also my other question on 21, page 21, is that chronic psychiatric patient number approved beds 1. Can you just explain, don't you have any chronic psychiatric patients? Or don't you have a facility for them or approved? That is the first question. My second question is in relation with the mental health coordinator that you wish we could have per sub-district. And you put it so nicely there that they should be championing the preventative and promotive aspect of mental health care in this. You know, that is the one most important thing that should be happening in the province. Making sure that there are preventative and promotive awarenesses, education, you know, the works, so that our people are aware and they know exactly what to do when they are confronted with their mental health family members, where to go and how to deal with them too. At times we hear in our communities that they are witches. Because there is no, I cannot feel that there is an appetite to promote and educate our community on that. And this is the point of our biggest frustration. And this lies at the primary health care where our people are forced to go. I mean, they don't have any medical aids to go to private hospitals and where you go. And for them to go to hospital, they have to be referred from the primary health care, from the clinic, from the CHC. Now, if it doesn't happen there, then obviously the burden is going to go flying to the hospitals. We are trying to get the hospitals be utilized for, you know, acute patients, you know, or the real upper, but not because our primary health care level doesn't really address how do we prevent and look at the underlying issues that lead to mental health. And coupled with that, I also want to understand with high drug and alcohol abuse in the country, are your clinic at your clinic level now, your day hospital, are they ready, are they equipped to easily diagnose a drug abuser, alcohol abuser, patient that comes in the door, easily from the urine? As they check the urine, also be able to check if this person is a user, because we must holistically assess a patient so that the doctor, you know, whoever is going to be treating this patient knows exactly what are all the underlying issues that are affecting this person. And that should be happening at the primary health care level. And I also want to jump to the key challenges that we thought you'd come in and, you know, and sort of unpack them so that we understand the challenges that are. Of course, you put them nicely in point form for you, and I thought that, you know, in that point form you'd now, you know, you unpack them, you know, inability to recruit and retain psychiatrists, you know, and staff skills. And we understand that that is an issue around the country. But what are your strategies? How are you going to do? What are you going to do to be able to better this situation, you know, because somehow you've got to have them in your province. Somehow you have to retain them. How are you planning to do that? You should have, you know, give us that there's something that you're doing, not just we must know when that's it. And also the infrastructure challenges. just a vague one-liner, and I thought probably we are going to, you know, explain that these are the issues that we have. You know, we wanted to, we would like to have open up our clinics so that we have spaces where we deal with this, you know, with drug and alcohol. You know, those can you can deal with when you detect them early in as a primary health. You know, that kind of so that we can see that. There's a move towards re-engineering primary healthcare because that is where, the Department of Health always fails. Where our people are forced to go because they just cannot go anywhere else. Before they can go to a hospital, they have to start at the clinic. Then the clinic can refer them. So if we do not beef up and make sure that those psychologists, those psychiatrists are available in our clinic, then we have a huge problem. And I'd like to hear how far are you in that thing around it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, and thanks, MEC, for this presentation. My colleagues have touched on a number of things that I would have, but I would like to touch on a few things. The first thing being the issue of vacant posts, which is quite a concern, particularly with regard to nurses. Is it because of the province being very rural and not being able to attract nurses? Because if you have such a big number of nurses posts that are vacant, I think it's a real serious challenge. And the issue of the Director for Mental Health, I understand that it was adopted even at the level of the Minister of Health, but the province is unable to fill it because of budgetary constraints. I also know that there is a moratorium on filling of some vacancies, but I also believe that there are those posts which you can't compromise on, posts that you have to fill. So just to get a sense of whether this post is a funded post, and if not, then why is the department not appointing someone there? Because I think you need that post more than anything else. The issue of preventive and promotive health for mental health services, again, just to get a sense, because Mr. You mentioned that ideally you should be having coordinators per district. Are there any health promoters at all there? Because I imagine that in that situation where you have your primary health care services, it is imperative that you have health promoters that are appointed besides this coordinator. The issue of the 72-hour assessment at General Hospital, you mentioned Tepong and Mafike. If you can just please speak to that, how that happens. Is it every patient going through that assessment? Or I didn't quite get what actually it means, this 72-hour assessment which happens at the General Hospital. And then I think the last thing would be, okay, the issue of private facilities, if these facilities are working, I know you've got the statistics, I saw the numbers of beds and all that, but what is the situation there? The number of deaths obviously are giving us encouragement that the province is doing well, because of course very minimal death incidence there. But what is happening at the private hospitals? And it's good you don't have NGOs then that are participating, but private hospitals. Are there any challenges at this? Because sometimes you find that the facilities are fine, but you may have other. And are you able to refer to those once your own facilities are overcrowded? Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Just some few comments on my side in terms of the report. The presentation is not assisting us in, remember that this presentation, these presentations that are from provinces, that are to assist us to have a feel of the actual state of affairs in as far as mental health is concerned in a province. Yes, we were quite aware that the mental health is part of the integral of the whole composition of challenges in health, but and it's a huge but. When we said mental health, we were quite clear. The report, therefore, is not assisting us to understand exactly what is transpiring in the province MEC. There are, I think one of them, Mahlalelite, said a mouthful. If I had those powers, I would have said, nobody must ask a question. He has said everything in relation to the National Health Policy Framework and Strategic Plan. The stakeholders that we are working with, in particular traditional healers, because we know from a fact that our people now, apart from traditional healers, there's a challenge, the issue of the religions, pastors and whatever. What is it that we have observed in relation to health in general, but in particular, those that are mentally ill? Two, are your community-based home care workers and wards, are they empowered? Do you have a program of empowering them? So that as they go in house to house, they are able to pick up if, yes, this person is mentally ill, and be able to ask, is he taking or is she taking treatment? I'm more making emphasis on communities because on page 32 of the slide, under your mental health review, there's one community member. I'm forced to ask them, is that community member empowered in understanding everything which entails within it? Was that community member, when he or she goes to a hospital to make an inspection, she must have an understanding if that patient that has been put in a strong room, where was the act followed? Because you will know that you can't just put a person in a strong room without following the act. I don't know, the other one is that page 35. You are not making us to understand that as much as they passed on, what are the other illnesses? There will be major diabetic, TB, the HIV positive, apart from the mental conditions that's there. So just giving us numbers, it's not assisting us. It's not assisting us at all. You have not, I don't know whether this has been asked, in your district, which is the most hardest hit district with mental ill patient, and which are those? Which are the most? Is it schizophrenic? Is it bipolar? What is the causal factors of that? Come again.
I said it's the legislature that is the largest effect. I was joking.
So, your report is, I thought members will say that I didn't want to vote that the people that were going to ask questions. It's very technical. Technical in general. It's not assisting. and therefore, for instance, in page 10, all patients in Vitrand and Lupilong died of medical conditions, details available. Where are the details? Let me see. This, and I'm not implying that you are not taking this serious, but we are taking this seriously. Wouldn't have said, let's invite provinces to come and take us through on the challenges, strengths and weaknesses in their province, in this area of mental health. We will allow you to just have a short break so that you are... My last concern, yes, now that's come. You said acute state patients. Huh? You have got acute... How many that are not acute and how long have they been there? And where are they situated? The state patient. Are they acute because a patient committed a crime and therefore now it's being said he must go for an observation in a mental institution? How many, because they are in categories, in my understanding. Not unless they are in categories. There are those that have committed crimes now. There are those that have committed crimes which then they have been institutionalized. I don't want to assume that acute is those that have just committed crime in 5 months and therefore when they went to court, they are then said to be there. They need to go for observation in a mental institution. But there are those that have always been there. Do you have that category in your province? Oh, you have only got the acute. Make us as we are reading your report, your presentation, let us have a visual, oh, this is what is transpiring in Northwest. But this, I don't know whether it's me. And if it's me, honorable members will say me alone and yourself too. I don't get that. I only get figures, and figures are not going to assist me. I want decay. Where you think that you're not going to be able to submit that detail, you'll have to tell us as you'll then be responding. But we'll give you 10 minutes break to rearrange who's going to respond on what, and then we'll come back and get your response. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are going to start. And then, hello, we are going to start. The more you started to reposition yourself in that corner, I had to make you aware. I could see that you are still going to be in that corner for the next 20 minutes. Mbali, can you please call members in? We will then allow you, MEC, to for the responses, but yes, from the questions and comments from our side, I will hand over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just for a start, Chair, let me say that being in opposition, I would really share your frustration if your expectations are not being met. But I need to read into the record the letter of invitation. That if we understood it the same way like Comrade Fishman, I mean the Honourable Fishman Shalela, that you expected us to prepare in line with us, you could have done so. But this is the letter. It says the Portfolio Committee on Health would like to invite the Northwest Provincial Department of Health to brief the committee on the state of healthcare services for mentally ill patients in the province. The committee further requests the mental health director to be part of this meeting. And the meeting will be held. That's it. So if the letter could be more detailed in future, you know, so that it must not be left to us to prepare. Because we will be giving information, but if the level of detail is required, we had so much detail that we got rid of, you know. We will apologize for that, but we'll also please say next time, let us know exactly what is requested of us so that we give you all the details. I will start by asking the CFO to look into the budgetary constraints and why we are not filling posts, except to lead him and say that it is important for the portfolio committee to know that our budget increased by 1.2% the previous financial year. This financial year that's coming is going to improve by 5%. 1.2% compared to 6.7% CPIX is very low by any standard. I'm just leading the CFO before he starts, so that the portfolio committee understands that when we talk about budgetary constraints in the office, we mean exactly that. It is not easy. CFO?
Thank you, MEC. Honorable members, I'll be talking to the issues relating to budget and the vacant posts. As the MEC has said, the issues of budget constraint in the Northwest Department of Health have been talked about for some time now. For instance, 2 years ago, the department ended the year with 700 million accruals plus 200 million bank overdraft to enable us pay salaries. Then the department was placed under Section 8 in administration, and we're being co-managed by the Northwest Provincial Treasury. So appointments since then have to be cleared with the Provincial Treasury before we could appoint. But in spite of that, we have prioritized the filling of professional posts, including professionals in the mental health area. The real issue, apart from the scarcity of budget, is what the MEC hinted. Because of the rural nature of the province, it becomes very, very difficult to attract professionals. So yes, we have budgetary constraints, but we have prioritized the health professionals for appointment, except that we don't get them as much as we would have liked. So that is the totality of the problem. It's more than just the budget. We also want to mention to the committee that we are restructuring and reprioritizing the, all positions in the department, and we're also putting in place measures that would enhance the province in terms of attracting. For instance, we mentioned in our presentation that in the new Popular Psychiatric Hospital, we are building accommodation facilities, which is one of the things that we've seen make people leave. Especially the health professionals. So we're making it more attractive by providing, for instance, accommodation for our health professionals when they come. So this is a summary of things we are doing to ensure that the few that we have, we are able to retain them, and we are also able to attract. So the issue is just more than the budget, as I said earlier on. It's also because of the rural nature of the provinces. It's difficult to attract and retain professional staff, including those in the mental health area. Thank you, MEC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, CFO Kazimia.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to respond mainly to the issues of primary health care as related to mental health care. And I'm going to share the issues with my colleagues at the back. The director will talk to other details. I just want to talk in particular to the issues of training today. In the absence of mental health coordinators in the sub-districts, professional nurses in the facilities are also trained. They receive in-service training regarding the issues of mental health, as to how they need to handle patients. For an example, when they appear and they seem to be having mental health symptoms. So they receive this in-service training by the province. Over and above other professional nurses, we use a community health, a PhD engineering, ward-based team. they go from house to house, they go into the household, they ensure that those who are on treatment, mental health users, they take their treatment regularly. Those who seem to be defaulting, they refer them to facilities so that they can be reinitiated on treatment. But they also provide health education regarding the mental health issues at household level and at ward level. So we use them by and large over and above other conditions because it's about integrated programs. Mental health is incorporated in their programs as well. And these teams, when they receive training as well, mental health issues are incorporated in their training. In terms of the 72 observation units, not so sure I got the question clearly, but we have two, like it said, in the province, in Tsepong and in Mafikeng Provincial Hospital. And the ideal situation would be to have them in all our district hospitals. But because of the challenge that has already been stated of the infrastructure, we are unable to list other hospitals. So what happens in these hospitals when a patient presents with a suspected mental health issues is being taken to the designated hospital because we have made sure that there is something in every district. Every district is covered. So the patient will be taken to the designated hospital, which we refer as, when we say acute, acute means that they can be treated there and admitted for a shorter period, not exceeding 6 weeks. If after six, before 6 weeks, the person gets cured, then the person will be discharged. But if after 6 weeks the person needs further treatment, it means the person will be referred to the main provincial psychiatric hospital, which is Bophelong Hospital. So for the acute, it means that they can stay for a shorter period. If they get treated, they will be discharged. If they still need further treatment, then they would be referred. That happens in veterans as well. Like we stated in the presentation, that veterans is actually not a psychiatric hospital, but a hospital for the intellectual disability. So they render psychiatric services on an acute basis. If patients need further treatment, they will then be referred to Bophelong. Thank you, Chair.
Page 19, it was the acute that I was referring to. It's in relation to the forensic mental health services. Acute state patient. So a state patient, there's a difference in my understanding of a patient that comes in and presents himself or herself with either mental disorders. But there is a state patient. That is why I made that distinction. Whether is it because this patient is in court, it has been said he must go for psychiatric observation, or it is a patient that has then been sentenced for a long period because of the nature of his or her crime that he has committed, he or she is then categorized as being a state patient. That was the distinction and the clarity that I request. Not the ordinary one, that I'm quite aware, but it was in relation to those.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. It's very clear now. This acute one for state patients are those ones that are to stand trial, but they have not as yet, they are to be observed. Because once they have been certified to really to be mentally ill, they become now chronic. Yeah. Thank you, Honorable Chair. My colleague at the back would proceed with other issues related to mental health. Welcome to
you. Thank you. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, a question was asked about forensic services, why 10 beds? Yes, indeed, we are limited at the present moment in terms of 10 because of the infrastructure. However, to address these problems of the bed log, the new Bophelong is coming up with 60 beds. And currently what we are doing with those bed loans, those are found, those, some of the patients are referred then to Vescopis for further treatment. Honorable Chair, in terms of training, currently the provinces, we have realized that we have been getting a number of students and nurses from outside the province, but the province embarked on training the local nurses. And we are happy as a department to inform members here that 321 nurses graduated recently with psychiatry, having gone through the psychiatry training. Of those 321, 274 they are from our colleges, nursing colleges, and 47 they are from our university. That is to address the issue of the nurses that we so dearly need in our province. In terms of health promotion, it is very, very true. But luckily for us, Honorable Chair, is that health promotion and mental health are residing under one health directorate health, and then directorate of non-communicable. And it's so easy for us to coordinate the services. Hence, we have health promoters going all around training and assisting as well where we have few coordinators. We, according to our slide as indicated there, we've got only 11 coordinators. We're supposed to be having 19. But this, we share that with our health promoters, who definitely assist in training the community in terms of their mental health services. In terms of Honorable Chair collaboration, we have a very healthy relationship with Department of Social Development, as well as SAPS and Justice Department. We now and then come together and discuss the issues that are of challenges in the department. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
I think, Honorable Chairperson, you were responded to in terms of the definition of acute psychiatry, because I only handle the emergency ones that are actually a danger to themselves and to their families. And then once the suicidal tendencies, the severe depression, the violent behavior and aggressive type of behavior, once we have stabilized that, then we are in a position, if we see that it is going to be a chronic condition, we then refer to Bopulong. We are actually just specializing on intellectual disability. If you look at the number of beds, you'll see that our beds are more in terms of intellectual disability as compared to psychiatry. So psychiatry, we are just treating and taking care of the particular district where we are residing and then sending to Bopilo. Now, there was another issue of concern in terms of the mortality, the number of patients that have died. Remember, they have died not only in terms of them coming from veteran per se. I was looking at the total population for the province. Remember that we are having a total population for the entire province, 3,509,952, with Bojanala being the highest in terms of the districts, 1,507,505. So all these patients in the whole province, I've been referred to Veteran Hospital in terms of intellectual disability. And our admission criteria, it is severe and profound. And those are the ones that are very sick, spastic, and sometimes do not even cope. Eventually, the mortality does happen in terms of those ones. The other issue that I really wanted to respond to is on our professional nurses, Chairperson. That the 35 that was alluded to under the professional nurses, actually we have vacant. We are saying vacant, and then we are also saying vacant funded. It means I am having 35 vacant posts of professional nurses, and indeed I can appoint them once the resources are there. So currently the total is 158 posts that are there, but I now at the moment I'm having 126 professional nurses posts. For veterans only. Thank you.
Thank you, Naledi. We are not going to let you get away with it. You are not answering Honorable Lungisa on the waiting list, on the 70 waiting list, please.
Oh, I can't.
You are not, Calvinia, you're not going to get away with it. You need to be telling us and the committee about the state of readiness. Again, Honorable Lungisa asked, drug and alcohol abuse and the state of readiness. you've not responded to that. Right. So please, can you handle that? Sorry to interfere. And the security issues, especially with that.
In terms of the high drug and substance abuse, honorable member, a veteran has a facility inside the hospital. It is not a separate one as such, but we have a memorandum of agreement with the Department of Social Development for admitting our drug, substance, and alcohol abusers. So they actually start at the acute hospital. 72-hour facilities, they are being evaluated to exclude medical conditions. Once the medical conditions have been excluded, and we are sure that now these people are having psychiatric conditions due to drug and alcohol abuse, they are then admitted in Vatrans. Currently, we have a memorandum of agreement with the Department of Social Development, where we have given them about 18 beds that we should be admitting their patients. We are also happy to announce that at least they have built their own drug and substance abuse unit where they will be admitting patients inside our hospital, but we will then be selling professional services to them. That's in terms of drug and substance abuse. I can also safely say that we do outreach services to all the healthcare facilities. We may not be able to cover the whole province, but where there are psychiatrists, they are moving out in terms of going to the hospitals that are nearby to provide that type of service. Our clinical psychologists are also doing outreach services as well as the social workers. It is something that both Bopilong and Vatrans are doing in the respective districts where we are located.
You need to be able to tell the committee about the mental review board and who appoints them. I know I do, but just safe for you to say it. You have not spoken to intersectoral collaboration. The Department of Social Development is not the only department to work with, so you need to be able to put across to this committee about the intersectoral collaboration in total. Tell them about Madibuo.
Thank you.
The traditional healers that you're working with. I'm not giving you answers. And all the governance structures. We worked in this department for many years. I shouldn't be answering on your behalf. Please do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chair. Sometimes they don't give us enough information.
Honorable MEC, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, thank you very much, MEC, for reminding me that I'm responsible for this. Indeed, we have an intersectoral collaboration with traditional not healers, as well as healers, I must say, practitioners. We have got a very cordial relationship with traditional practitioners, as well as the Khositarona. Secondly, the review board, they are appointed by Honorable MEC. The interviews are held, and we have just completed interviews last year, and of the members of the review board, they are definitely according to the Mental Health Act. And we are happy to inform the Honorable Chair that our review board is functioning very, very well. Now and then we attend their meetings with them, and they are periodically give the report to us, and we pass it to the Honorable MEC. If there's something unwanting, MEC definitely return that to us and Hishambokas, and we do our level best to make sure that we comply. And our review board do comply and visit all the institutions. Thank you.
24 years, a patient who spent 24 years in our hospital. I'm not sure which one is that. Any of you that you may want to assist us, but please take us the state of security in Veteran Hospital in Bopilong. Yes.
Thank you again, honorable members and the chairperson. In terms of security in psychiatric hospitals, we may not be at an optimal level, but we are compliant to a certain extent in the sense that we use CCTV footages only in psychiatric units. And when the patient is secluded, we have a monitoring tool in terms of whether 24 hours around the clock the CCTV monitoring is on, even if the nurses are maybe busy in the respective areas. As they move around, they are able to see what is happening in the situation room. So we have got CCTV footages, but only in the psychiatric unit. because that is the most vulnerable area that we do not. We started the process of coming up with beta fencing for hospitals, because that's another fencing, type of fencing, that will really avoid and make patients not to abscond, because it is like a safe way, definitely, patients cannot abscond. It is done in phases, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, quite expensive. I can simply just say that we have not yet completed it. But in terms of monitoring, we are comfortable that we have got systems. At the entrance of these facilities, we also have got physical security people that will make sure that we don't have people that are entering and actually giving unlawful things that are entering into the unit. So they are being searched and making sure that also people are compliant to the mental health care regulations. Thank you.
Madam Mochwane, can you please handle the infrastructure issues? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable MEC, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I do concur that indeed challenges related to infrastructure do exist and include, amongst others, adherence to statutory requirements, poor performance of some service providers, budgetary constraints, and so on. Despite these challenges, we have, however, collaborated with Provincial Treasury, National Department of Health, and other important stakeholders and managed to complete a number of projects. As an example, we have managed to complete the Phase 2A construction of forensic and state patient wards at the Bophelong Psychiatric Hospital. We completed the project in December 2015 to the tune of 596 million. That project included, amongst others, forensic unit, male state wards, state medical wards, food department and services. That is just one of the projects. Another project includes the staff accommodation project at Bophelong, which is currently underway and will be completed sometime this year, around September 2017. Phase 3 at Bophelong Psychiatric Hospital is in the process of advertisement, should be advertised shortly, and that includes mainly the administration block, you know, and other related facilities. Some of the challenges, Honorable Chair, for example, there's a project at Buitikong Clinic. When we are intervening as a department to ensure that the project is completed sooner than later, and one of the interventions we have made there is to, in fact, get another service provider to come and finish the rest of the project, which is almost 50% of the project. So generally, we do have problems in infrastructure. However, we are intervening where we can, and I think with the collaboration with other stakeholders, we are going in the right direction. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just to add that she didn't tackle the issue of private hospitals. What is happening in those private hospitals? That needs to be responded to. The 72-hour assessment, you need to respond to that. But maybe from an infrastructure perspective, Chairperson, the kind of accommodation we're building, I want to believe I've visited the place. It's state of the art. It's part of the retention strategy, because you must remember, development is a process, not an event. A rural province like ours, unable to attract wherever we can, we need to build a kind of accommodation that will even make sure that young doctors, young psychiatrists come. However, there's more to it. They need better roads. They need malls. They need better schools for their kids. We can go on and on and on. So accommodation alone is not enough. The OSD alone is not enough. So it's a broader developmental issue of retention of skilled people in rural areas in general, not just the Northwest. It's not a departmental issue. It's a societal issue in general. I thought I must add to what to say. So please explain to the committee what's happening with private hospitals.
Thank you once more, Honorable Chairperson. With a private hospital, the department has actually licensed them to provide mental health services. However, from the issues that have been raised from the committee, from Honorable Members, it means we need to have a closer relationship with them, because currently we're not collecting the statistics, for an example, from them, in so much if we say we have got so many schizophrenia in the province, we would not be including those that are reporting at the private hospitals. However, on an annual basis, they are being inspected to ensure that they operate in line with the Mental Health Act and the overall health act of the country, if the conditions are meeting those, but do not collect stats from them. Thank you, Chair.
Acting HOD, just in case I forgot to something.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson and honorable committee members, just to, there was a question relating to the expenditure. I think it was from Honorable Mahlasela. Yes, okay. Sorry, I'm sorry. The expenditure is at the end of the third quarter. If we can go to the slide, you will see at the extreme left-hand side of the slide, it just explains that Veteran and Bophelong, I think Bophelong is standing at 69% and Veteran is standing at 78%. It says 2016-17 as at the third quarter. The expected performance at that time was supposed to be 75%. Veteran is slightly above and Bophelong is a bit lower. There are various factors. Of course, December period, half of it already is a dead month because of the vacation periods during that time. We are closely monitoring that expenditure, and we are hopeful that by the end of the fourth quarter, Bophelong could have improved, and we'll also ensure that Veteran does not commit any unauthorized expenditure. The just to add on the issue of the personnel cost and why we say posts are funded but we are not filling them. There are numerous questions that have been asked in that respect. I must indicate that although institutionally based as reflected in the presentation, it is reflective that those posts are funded. Technically speaking, if you look at the totality of the department as a whole, out of a budget of 6.1 billion that has been allocated, and on average spending about half a billion rand every month, compounded by the fact that we have also registered outstanding liabilities in terms of the pay progression for OSD, PMDS outstanding over time in relation to other health professionals post. So in totality, the department is not doing good in terms of the budget per se in relation to the filling of post. It might be reflected there institutionally that it's funded, but technically in totality we are not. We have made a submission to Provincial Treasury Chairperson to fill critical funded posts, about 1,275 of them, just before the end of the third quarter. But Treasury has declined our request, the Provincial Treasury, to allow us to fill those posts. We have solicited the assistance of National Department of Health, and on the 14th of February there was a tripartite meeting between the three of us to try to resolve the issue. We have now agreed on a new model that needs to be utilized for motivating for this post going into the new financial year. I must, however, indicate that our personnel budget for the new financial year, it has only grown by about 400 million from the current allocation. So we might still be experiencing similar problems going into the future, but we will try as much as possible to fill as many health professionals post that we can in the new financial year. Chairperson, we will leave with the Secretariat of the Committee the detailed record of the causes of death per patient so that they can be shared amongst committee members.
That document is available. We have gone through the stats. We have had a look at it. So that record will be left here so that you can be able to check it. Thanks, John.
We hoping that we have tried to answer the first round. Thanks.
You don't be a second round because there is an entity outside that is waiting for us. Maybe you are correct by saying we should have, in our invitation, we should have outlined. But I think Honorable Mashalela said it. If you are aware that mental health services in the province are provided in line with the Mental Health Act and National Mental Health Policy Framework, Strategic Plan 2013 to 2020 MEC, we would have expected, therefore, the presentation to touch on a number of, I think that's where the issue is. But secondly, is that in moving forward in future, if our invitation has got a grey area, feel free to say, and then what are you saying here? So that we don't create an impression that we are ambushing you when we didn't then say to you to ABCD. But in your introduction, your first bullet says, in fact, you know what we're supposed to reflect on. That's it. But thank you very much. And you must understand that it's because the matter is emotive by its nature. Health is emotive, but its subject matter by its nature is emotive. So we may come across times as being unfair. We may have expected a particular detail. We didn't get that, and we will panic. And what is this? The last thing that we must please provide, check on it, which district is hard hit by mental disorders and what are the causal factors? Because that is very important. That is going to be very important as we'll be conducting our oversight. We don't want to be everywhere. We would like to zoom where we think here there's a challenge, there's a potential of an egg in our face as the country. Honourable members, I can see that there is a temptation to ask some questions. Unfortunately, there's an entity outside, and we do the Department of Health National has part of us. They've picked up some guesses, some shortcomings, and both sides are learning for that matter. So it's a two-way process. You must not think that you are, ourselves also are learning. So that is. So feel free, don't go out as if sure that Chairperson has put us in a spotlight. You must be happy that we didn't say you must leave the room. Ms. Hunter?
I'm being naughty, but I can't let this opportunity go. We are in the presence of the one hospital when Health Systems Trust did an independent review of the state of facilities in the country. The only facility that passed the standards of the office was Vitrand Hospital. Just want to acknowledge them, since I always refer to it in this boardroom chair when I feel a bit bad about our few ideal clinics, to say we started with zero. The only one facility that complied in the whole country, all nine provinces, was Vitrand Hospital. And I hope they're keeping it up, Chair. And if an inspection comes unannounced tomorrow, they will be in the same state.
Well, thank you very much. We will be there. Thank you very much. So I understand now why they feel as being gay, and the MEC feels, no, thank you very much, thank you very much. Thank you, and thank you for the report. The Secretariat will contact the HOD for the information, because as we'll be going out for whatever time that will go for oversight, when we've decided to do so, we will have to have looked into that and know exactly where we are going to. Thank you very much, and sorry for the delay. It was not ourselves, it was the weather.
Cape Town weather. Cape Townians will know better. Thank you very much.
Complaining, we're not complaining. Mm.
Thank you. What's your view? It was nice being your partner for the day.
I can't leave this meeting yet. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This one. Yeah, it's a mistake.
Hello, Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. Can we be settled? We are going to start. Time is very much against us. Good afternoon, Prof and your team. Our apologies for delaying you. The first presenters that came Northwest, we delayed them. It was not of our own making. It's the weather in Cape Town. We were delayed. I was in the bus for almost 2 hours from Akasha to here because of transport congestion. So our approaches. We want to raise a matter that is of great concern to us. Great concern to me in particular, on behalf of the committee. With the good work and very important work that you are doing, that we acknowledge and we appreciate and we respect. The only thing that is really a challenge is that it's only now that we are seeing this document. Now, in this meeting. Now, that disempowers us, and it also disempowered you because you're not going to get questions that are questions of that will enable you, because both sides are to empower one another. I got the message yesterday that your document is not yet in. That was in the afternoon. I then thought maybe when I open my iPad, I will get an emailed one from the. And again, that didn't happen. It's something that is, it's just something that we, can I be a bit harsh? We don't take it kind. And we don't want to be seen as creating, as being very unfair and hostile to you. To say, well, what are we going to discuss? We haven't read the document. Please come up again tomorrow, next week. I'm just making an example. We can't do that. We'll humbly request. We request this to everybody, department. At least give us a day or two, so that we are able to go through the document and not come here and see the document for the first time. I thought that, Prof, it would be important that we raise it, so that was the secretary did say. That they have been waiting for this document. Whether it's, I don't know what may have then been the problem, but I felt that it's unfortunate that we have to start with that note, but it's something that we thought that it's important that we raise. Having said that, we will introduce ourselves as much as you are familiar with us, but we'll just do that normality. I'm Lindela Tunjwa, I'm the chairperson of the portfolio committee. Next to me is Vyogas Machalamba, the secretary. At the back is Ms. Mbali, secretary assistant. Zubair, who is part of the who's a researcher in the committee. And then we will then request honourable members to introduce themselves. After that, it will be your team. It will then be the department, and it will be anybody who is here who is not coming from these institutions or structures that I have mentioned. Over to you, honourable members.
you, Chair. Dumelang. Ke ntate Maesel. Ke leloko la komiti ya tsa bophelo mo palamenteng. Ke a leboga.
Good morning, everyone. Good day. My name is Fish Mahlalela. Well, I want to share the sentiments, Chair, that you have raised on our behalf. It's real and fair what has been done to us, to be given a document and expect to understand it and interpret it and be able to engage constructively in a meeting. It's real, real and fair.
Good afternoon, committee member Walmart Jones.
Afternoon, colleagues. I'm Shamalan Kosa, member of the committee.
Good day, everyone. My name is Doreen Robanyane, a member of the committee.
Good day. I'm Donald Mapanga, an alternate member of this committee. Thank you.
Good day. I am Lungiswa James, a member of this committee. Over to you, Prof.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Lisa Mazwai, Chairperson of the Office of Health Standards Compliance Board. Next to me, we have Mr. Msibi, Acting CEO of the Office of Health Standards. We have a new member, Ms. Daphne Monsiwa, who is also the deputy chair of the new board. For the records, you would be aware that there's a new board that was appointed by the minister. We have Professor Ethelwyn Stellenberg, who is a returning member of the board. At the back there, I would like to introduce Mrs. Makhoba Madisa, who is the board secretary and responsible for strategic matters. And you will give us an opportunity to say this was just a round of introduction.
Okay. It's a round of introduction. We then allow the national department.
Melvin Freeman, Chief Director, Non-Communicable Diseases, National Department.
Joma Ila, Department of Health spokesperson.
Good day, honorable members. My name is Cindy Lesoldada from National Department of Health. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable chair, honorable members, and chairperson of the board of the OHC and other board members and officials, my colleagues. I'm Jeanette Hunter, the Deputy Director General for Primary Healthcare in the National Department of Health.
Good afternoon, Tamar Khan, Business Day.
Lady, Prof.
Yes, I think my eyesight is bad. I have to turn around completely. I apologize. We have Alice Nguyenya, who is secretary to the office of the CEO.
Yes, ma'am.
Jill Goldberg, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
You must use the mic.
Sorry. Jill Goldberg, Parliamentary Monitoring Group. Jill Goldberg, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much, Prof. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. With reference to your opening remarks, yes, we take these comments very seriously, and in that light, I think an apology and an explanation is appropriate. And on behalf of the board, without going into any detail, I'll certainly make an apology. However, I do hope that the CEO will have an explanation, particularly to ensure that this starting on the wrong foot is not repeated. Maybe we could ask him if he like to comment on the late delivery before we continue.
Thank you very much.
Prof, and good morning, good day, honorable members. I would like to apologize on the delayed delivery of the report. We've had some challenges from the office, from the supplier. We tried to email it, but it was too big. It's 200 pages with graphs. It was not going through. And we ended up requesting it to be couriered, and it was only couriered, delivered this morning in Cape Town. But it was, we apologize for the delay. It won't happen again.
On behalf of the committee, I think apology is accepted. Thank you, Prof.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The acting CEO will give the substance of the report, but as Chair, I just wanted to make a few comments which are contained in the executive summary. Basically, I'd just like to put us where we are, and that is the inspection report itself represents a period of 2015-2016 financial year. During this period, we targeted 495 facilities out of 3,816, with score going up to 13% in terms of overall coverage. And, of course, about 34% of the facilities were also re-inspected. We have made note of this fact that the re-inspections do take quite a bit of time and away from the sort of meeting the targets in terms of time. The hospital is, health establishments are divided into the central hospitals. We inspected four of those. Dr. George Mukhari, King Edward VIII, Charlotte Makeke, and Nelson Mandela in Mthatha. In all the hospitals, we looked at the two main indicators, and that is looking at the domains which are put down as patients' rights, safety, clinical support, public health, leadership, operation management, and facilities. From central hospitals, we also inspected 12 provincial tertiary hospitals in the same manner, format, seven regional hospitals, and four district hospitals, and as I've mentioned, quite a fair number of re-inspections. There are also community health centers or clinics which were inspected during this period. We appreciate the fact that the report that is being given actually represents the previous year, and it's about a year to the day now. And we should look at it in that context. We will probably at a later stage discuss, because it is probably better to have the reports given within the first 6 months of completing, because the information we're giving now is a year old and might raise some concerns where certain hospitals might say, we're no longer there, we've moved on, and then there may be questions. So it's something that I think we need to discuss a little bit later to establish a uniform timetable cycle of reporting to the portfolio committee. Apologize for the gruffness of my voice. The weather is not too great. And with those few words, I'd like to hand over to the acting CEO to make the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Maswai. Once again, good day, honorable members. I've prepared some few slides which will summarize the 220-page document which I will be projecting. But I will keep on referring back to some of the pages in the document. The slide, it only shows the vision and mission of the office, which is the safe and quality healthcare for all South Africans, and the mission is to act independently and impartially, fairly, and fearless in guiding and monitoring and enforcing healthcare and safety. The results that I will be giving, Professor Maswai already indicated that they are based on seven national core standards. which are patient rights, safety and clinical risk, clinical support service, public health, leadership and corporate governance, operational management, facilities and infrastructure. The part A of the thick document that we have distributed, I've summarized it into this particular slide. The part A talks about the processes that was followed in conducting these inspections and when the inspectors go on site, what is happening. If you look into the slide, we schedule the inspections according to the risk. We grade facilities according to the risk. We've got low risk, we've got medium risk, we've got high and extreme risk. How do we grade them? We also grade them based on the early warning system that we have developed in the office. And as part of the early warning system, the media reports are also part of the early warning system. The information that we get from the DHIS in the Department of Health, we also use it to prioritize the inspection. After we've prioritized the inspection, we then sample randomly within the provinces the number of inspections to be conducted. For the financial year that we're reporting on, the target for 15-16 was 10%, which is, there's a table there on the report, which is on page 10, with the breakdown of those number of facilities. We targeted 10% of the facilities. And then after we then scheduled inspections, we then conduct inspections, but part A also explain in depth how these inspections are conducted. The in-depth information is in the report. You can look in page 19 of the report where it explains that we've got a planning phase. In the planning phase is the planning that we initially do in the office. And what is it that we do in preparing for this inspection? Then page 20, there's also a due phase, what happened when the inspectors go on site. And the same, what happens on site when we conduct these inspections. And then in page 21, it's what happened when we quality control the data. There are stages that we do follow in making sure that the data is quality controlled. And also again on page 21, further explains that during inspection, there's a quality control system that is in place. In the office, when the inspectors come back, there's also quality control. And again, in office, there's another quality control that we are doing to control data. And then the last in page 22, it's what happens after we have finished the inspection and in feeding back to the facilities. And in page 22.6, there are guiding principles that are followed by the inspectors as to the conduct of inspection is guided by those principles. For an example, they are results orientated, the standardization, the independence, sustainability, and so on. So this slide that I've reflected there, it's a summary. However, if we found the facilities to be compliant or to be non-compliant, we will give the facility the notice of non-compliance, and then we will give them a time frame to work on making sure that they work on the weaknesses that have been identified, and then we will go back and do the first re-inspection. If there is no improvement after the first re-inspection, we still give them enough time to work on improving. We'll go back and do the second re-inspection. And the other phase that we're still working on, which will come into effect soon as the regulation, is the issue of enforcement. But currently, we're not yet enforcing. This is the summary of the report that I'm going to give for 2015-16. Our target was 10% of the public health sector establishment. This information came through from the APPs. And you can see that the second one, it focuses on the number and percentage of private sector. For 2015-16, we didn't inspect any of the private health establishment. Again, there's an indicator that speaks about percentage of non-compliant health establishment that we have to re-inspect. And number of inspectors that have been accredited as compliant. So this report will be focusing on the first indicator, that is the number and percentage of the public sector that have been inspected. We are unable to inspect the private sector for that particular financial year in the absence of the regulations. This is the summary of the coverage, the actual coverage in numbers. It's there in page 23 of the actual report. It splits per province to say how many have we covered in each province in terms of the type of care, the facility type, the clinics, CHC, district hospital, regional hospital, and so on. Now, if you again look at the report, we have further in page 13 of the report, we justify why these numbers have been covered in particular provinces. Our annual target was 10%. Therefore, we targeted 10% of health establishment in each and every province. Now, if you look into page 13, there's a table 3, that it shows the provinces according to number of district, sub-district, and the number of health establishment. If you look at Eastern Cape, according to the data that we have that year, they had 858 health establishment, and we targeted 10% of that. Free State, 252, we targeted 10%. So out of each province, we targeted 10% based on the number of health establishment that was there. This was just normal inspection routine. It was excluding the inspections that we will conduct based on risk issues that we'll pick on the media, issues that we'll pick on any other risk-based factor. The following slide, slide 8, it's just a graphic representation of the previous slide. I'll skip. And then if you look into slide number 9 is in page 27 of the report. It's percentage outcomes per province, where we picked that during the reporting period, Limpopo was the province that was not really performing very well. Gauteng performed very well, followed by KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Western Cape, Northern Cape, Free State, and Eastern Cape. I would like to highlight to the members that this has changed. When we come back to present the latest report, you will see that some of the provinces have improved from this. It has changed. However, Limpopo is the one that has not really changed that much. It still remains there. I will take the honourable members through slide 10 that focuses on the central hospital. Professor Mazwai indicated the names of the central hospitals that we have inspected, which is Dr. George Mukhari, King Edward, Charlotte Mashaka, and Nelson Mandela Central Hospital in the Eastern Cape. Now, these four hospitals, we have inspected them for this particular financial year that we are reporting on. However, there's a slide that I will reflect that shows that we have inspected all the central hospitals. We had to go back to this hospital for this particular financial year because we noted that there were challenges in the previous year when we inspected this particular health establishment. Slide 12, it's a combination of all the central hospitals in terms of domains and how they have performed from each other. I will go to slide 13 and 14, slide 12 talks to the domains, how they've performed. If you look, King Edward is in that particular color, Gauteng, Charlotte Mashaka in that particular color, Eastern Cape into that particular color. But I will explain to the members, there are particular slides that I've included that focuses on the particular health establishment themselves and where we have picked the weaknesses. The slide here tries to compare in terms of their performance as to where we did we pick most of the areas. But most members can see that issues that relate to public health, it's where we have picked most of the areas and leadership. Those are the two domains that were really most of the problem. But other domains, patient safety, patient rights, they were doing much better. And the second slide focuses really on the six priorities, which is availability of medicines and supplies, cleanliness, improved patient safety and security, infection prevention and control, positive and caring attitude and waiting times. And the honourable members will see that on this slide, the issue of the waiting times where we found to be a problem, it was in Nelson Mandela, where this waiting time combines the time that the patients wait to receive the service in a particular health establishment and the time that the patients have to wait for procedures in theatre. The slide 14, I've indicated earlier on to the members that we have inspected all the central hospitals, but for the particular financial year, we went back to those four. If the honourable members look into this slide, Nelson Mandela, we inspected Nelson Mandela three times, that is slide number 14, and we have noted slight improvement. At first, they were at 60%, they went to 61, they went 64. There is improvement, but at a very slow pace. However, if you look at the Universitas Central Hospital, it was the hospital that we have flagged, that is the hospital that we have noted a decline. They were 92, they went to 70, and then they went to 62. And Charlotte Masheke, there's also an improvement. It was inspected four times. Chris Hani Baragwanath, two times. Dr. George Mukari, two times. Well, the one that I'm going to be reporting on, Dr. George Mukari, is the second inspection that was conducted. And Steve Bigo, it has been maintaining the standards. And Nkosi Albert Luthuli, it has been doing well, though it declined slightly. King Edward, it also declined very slightly. Hoteskir, also it has shown some improvement. Tiger Beck, it has also declined from 78 to 74. But honorable members can note that most of the central hospitals are performing above 70%, except the Nelson Mandela and Universitas, which has declined to 62. We'll go to slide 15 on the presentation, but on the report, it's page number 31, which reflects the findings there. This is the overall summary of George Mukari. Those colors, if I would like to explain to honorable members, if you look into page 31, those colors have been explained briefly. What is the meaning of green? Green is compliant. Yellow, it needs minimum effort. And orange need moderate effort. And the red need considerable effort. And brown need maximum effort to reach compliance. And the gray color, it's when the facility was not assessed or the results were not available. But in summary, if the honorable members look into George Mukari, we've noted, if you take those colors and explanation into consideration, that starting from the management, we've split this according to the domain. If you look under the domain that focuses on management, according to that group, we've picked that the problems were with the CEO's office, the infrastructure there, and the procurement system, and other areas, that is the occupational health and safety, case management, communication, the clinical management group, and the management of information. And the clinical services, the areas that we've picked with weaknesses, it was the issue of health technology, the fixing of the equipment, and so on. And under patient care, we've noted that most of the clinical areas, though you've got some of the problems, but most of the clinical areas where they render patient care, they were found to be doing much better. They were doing not bad, really. And also under support services, we've picked issues that relate to cleaning being a problem, and also the public areas in the particular hospital. Those are your grounds and the public areas outside the hospital which were picked to have the problem. Again, also the issue of maintenance of services, including the gardens, were also picked to be the problem in George Mukari. But honorable members, going back to the report in page 32, page 32, there is a graph that we have focused on the extremes and vital measures that have been failed. I would just like to apologize to the members. This graph, we didn't put
underneath the domains. But the domains, they follow each other as stated underneath there. That the first bar, it focuses on patient rights. Patient safety is the second one, clinical support is the third one, but subsequent graphs, that has been corrected. And again, if you look into the table 7, page 32, page 33, and page 34 of the report, we explain what is it that we have found to be weaknesses related to those areas. For an example, if we look under clinical support, under the vital measures, domain 3, clinical support, standard operating procedures on how Schedule 5 and 6 medicines are to be managed, document ownership were not stated, and document contained those drugs and does not cover the wards. But we've tried to explain exactly when we say they were not complying to this. If you look into those tables, it explains really what were the actual problems related to those particular domains. And then King Edward, slide 17. Also, I mean, if honorable members will take a look into the patient care, also most of the central hospital patient care, they are doing very well. But also in King Edward, you could see the issues that were really related to problems. It was facilities and infrastructure. Some of the buildings in King Edward are old, issues of procurement. And if you look under support services, issues of maintenance services, including gardens. And if the honorable members would go back to the report itself, page 37, page 38, we have clearly explained what were those issues that were relating to the actual findings. Slide 19, it was Charlotte Masheke. You can see that in Charlotte Masheke, the picture also changes. But what is still common throughout is the issue of health technology. But again, in Charlotte Masheke, you can see that when it comes to management, they are doing much better. When we went there to re-inspect the infrastructure, but however, we picked that under support services, there were still problems with issues related to maintenance services, cleaning services, patient admin, which contributes to longer waiting hours, because in the patient admin, that is where patient receives reports and so on, receives files, admissions, and so on. And page 21, Nelson Mandela, slide 21 in Nelson Mandela. Again, you see that the summary also highlights issues that we have really picked as a problem and those issues that we have picked to be doing very well. The patient care also, they are doing well in patient care, but I think honorable members would see that most of the central hospital, when it comes to patient care, they are doing much better. I think it's because of the skills and expertise that are available in those types of care. Again, the issues that relate to facility infrastructure, the hospital, it's still a new building. However, the maintenance also, if you look under the support services, the maintenance services, what we found to be of the problem there in the mortuary service. Honorable members, most of the information that further explain in terms of this central hospital as to what were the problems really, it's further explained in the reports in those columns under extremes and vitals as to what were the real problems there for each and every hospital. I will move now to page 53 on the report, and on the slide it's page 23, the overall of tertiary hospitals. How did they perform? Honorable members will note that we did a lot of tertiary hospitals. Professor Mazwai has already indicated that there were 12 in number. And if you look at this graph, you could see that Grace Hospital in Pietermaritzburg, KwaZulu-Natal, in Gugulethu District, was the one that was doing very well. They scored 91%. Again, when I show the honorable members the previous slide, Members would note that Kalafong Hospital, which came at 80% in the previous inspections, it was very, very low. But we've noted a lot of improvement there with the new CEO there that has been sent there in that hospital. When we went for inspection, we've noted a lot of improvement in that particular hospital. And again, Helen Joseph, the Scott 70. However, again, from the graph, honorable members, I would like to bring to attention that the hospitals that didn't do very well, which were at the tertiary level, is Kimberley Hospital in Kimberley, Northern Cape. It's also Pilinomi Hospital in the Free State, and also Frey Hospital in the Eastern Cape in East London. But other provincial tertiary hospitals, they did very well. Tembisa Hospital, they scored 68%, but during the when we come to present the report for the past financial year, there were other issues that we have picked in Tembisa Hospital, which by then we had to address with the hospital and the province, and there were some remedial actions that were implemented to address those weaknesses that were picked. But it will be part of the inspection report for the financial year and period that is ending during the end of the month. Again, when we look into the provincial tertiary hospitals, we were trying to compare here in terms of domain as to where are the weaknesses the most. But we can note that, again, issues that relate to leadership and corporate governance, they are the ones that have scored very low. But again, we have noted that in most of these provincial tertiary hospitals, they are working on the issues that relate to facilities and infrastructure. There are a lot of projects that are happening to revamp and address weaknesses in those particular hospitals. The hospital in Nelspruit, they are also working on the infrastructure. There are some contractors on site, but in most of these provincial tertiary hospitals, issues that we have raised the previous year that were relating to infrastructure, they are working on them, and we went to some of them and it was not that much of the weaknesses that we have picked, except in Kimberley Hospital. You can see that Kimberley Hospital, in terms of facilities and infrastructure, they are the ones that scored very low. And in terms of the six priorities, again, we can see that in Pilinomi, they scored very low when it comes to the waiting times. In a particular hospital, the waiting times there is got 44% than any other of the provincial tertiary hospital. And when we look to positive and caring attitude, most hospitals didn't score much high on the caring attitude, but which you can see that some of them did very well, Kalafong. And how do we measure this? Mostly the issue of positive and caring attitude, the information that we get from the patient, it's more of a survey. The inspectors will go to the patients, ask questions about the type of treatment that they get. It's really based on the experiences of the user. They are the ones that contribute to the to the outcomes of this particular domain. It's not based on any paper. It's really what the patients are really reporting on per hospital. You can see that in Frey, it's got low, it was 58%. And again, the way hospital that's got very well, Gwelezana Hospital scored 80%. The users there were reporting to be happy. And Grace Hospital, the users were reporting to be happy. Like I've indicated, honorable members, that this domain is purely based on patient experience. Because the inspectors go there, we've got questionnaires that they ask, and it's then captured into a system to generate the outcomes. This is the re-inspection. I've indicated that there are inspections that we have conducted. Honorable members, you would note that from the table, from the slide 26, most of the re-inspection that we have conducted, there were improvements that we have noted. and there were declines that we have noted. We've noted a huge decline in Kimberley Hospital, where they declined from 75% to 47%, and we noted a slight improvement in Billinomi, but really it's not an improvement because it's only 2%. But those two tertiary hospitals, Billinomi and Witbank Hospital and Kimberley Hospital, honorable members, they are the ones that amongst this didn't do very well. However, we've noted also a decline from Red Cross Children Hospitals, where they've declined from 76% to 62% when the reinspection was conducted. I will ask the honorable members to move to the regional hospitals that we have inspected. The regional hospitals that we have inspected, we've inspected Rahima Musa in Gauteng, we've inspected Bongani Hospital in Free State, we've inspected the Dihlabeng Hospital in Free State, Mamelodi Hospital in Gauteng, Tambo Memorial Hospital in Gauteng, the Taba Hospital in Limpopo, Cecilia Makiwane in Eastern Cape. And honorable members would see, will note that after these inspections, especially on the Dihlabeng Hospital, we went back to the Dihlabeng Hospital to inspect hospital. We were there, they scored 61%. We made recommendations. They implemented those recommendations, and we went back to inspect the Dihlabeng Hospital, and we noted a lot of improvement when we went back to the Dihlabeng Hospital. But we will reflect also those in the report that will come and present back to the honorable members. Mufumahadi Manapo Mopedi doesn't reflect here because it was not inspected during this particular financial year. It was inspected during the current financial year, but we've noted a lot of challenges related to the institution itself. Again, the slide summarizes the performance in terms of domain for the regional hospitals, where we can see that also where are the problems. But if you look at Letaba Hospital, they are the ones that have scored low in terms of facilities and infrastructure. But again, what worries a lot is the issues on domain 6, operational management. Operational management, this domain refers to the day-to-day running of the institution, the job descriptions, the performance assessment, and all of those issues. And we would note that Tambo, they scored very low. The Taba has got very low, but really the domain focuses on the day-to-day functioning of the facility. Again, the issues of leadership and corporate governance, you see under Tambo Memorial Hospital that has got very low. The Taba again in Limpopo has got very low when it relates to that particular domain. And again, you can note that the Taba Hospital, when it comes to clinical support services, their overall outcome was 40%, but out of these hospitals that were inspected for that particular financial year, the Taba Hospital was the one that came out to be not doing very well. This is in terms of 6 priority areas. Again, in terms of the 6 priority areas, you can note that the positive and caring attitude, look at the Taba. The Taba Hospital, again, the information that we got from the users themselves, they were not happy, and the hospital scored the lowest in terms of that particular domain. Again, patient safety and security, they scored very low. Cleanliness, they scored very low. Availability of medicines and supplies, they also scored very low. That's the Taba Hospital in Limpopo. But other hospitals, if you try also to compare, look at Rahima Musa. Availability of medicines and supplies, they scored above 90. They scored, in fact, 90. And you look at other hospitals, they scored above 70, most of them, because in this particular, we have combined medicine and consumables together. Where there is some shortage of things, it's mostly during consumables, but medicine is available in all of these facilities. Problems will be mostly in issues that relate to consumables. But we have now splitted this to have a specific one that reports to availability of medicine and the one that will be reporting on consumables. But During this time when this report was generated and when these inspections were conducted, the split was not yet done. This is how the district hospitals have performed. Those district hospitals that have been inspected, the district hospitals are also available in the report, and the detailed report is there as to which what happened for each and every hospital. That is why the report is such a thick document, because every hospital that was inspected, it's in depth. It explained what were the findings and what were the issues of that weaknesses that have been identified. So these are the district hospitals, and that is the number of the district hospitals that we have inspected. You would note that for that particular financial year, the weaknesses were with a Diamond Hospital in the Free State. The hospital is in Yagersfontein in Gareb District. And Bekkie-Mlangeni Hospital in Soweto, they were the ones found to be doing very well. But it is still a new hospital. They've just moved into the hospital. The infrastructure is doing very well. They were still putting up systems related to clinical management and so on, but the infrastructure and so on, they were doing very well. Followed by Nompumelelo Hospital in the Eastern Cape, and all the hospitals are named there for each and every province. We'd also note that St. Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape is there. It also didn't perform very well. There were a lot of challenges in St. Elizabeth when we were there. That we have also raised and escalated to the province. Also, Prisca Hospital in Northern Cape, they didn't do very well. Matikwana Hospital in Mpumalanga, they didn't do very well. Nesi Knight Hospital in Eastern Cape, Bernice Samias Hospital in Mpumalanga. So all those hospitals are there, have been stated. But I would also like to bring to the attention of the Honourable Members that the upper level of care, according to the findings of inspectors and the results, they are doing much better compared to the lower levels of care. The higher you go, the better the care. But you can see that the district hospitals also, they still need much more effort. And this is the overall performance in terms of district hospitals. We have average the scores in terms of the six domains, and we've also picked that there are a lot of issues that relate to leadership and corporate governance, operational management. That is where a lot of issues that needed to be addressed, and those are the issues that we've picked a lot of weaknesses. Leadership and corporate governance, they scored 38%. Slide 32. It's an overall in terms of six ministerial priorities. However, also the problems with the problems that relates to cleanliness when we go to the district hospitals, because when we check or when we assess the cleanliness, we're not only focusing on how the hospital looks, because when the inspectors are there, they might pick that the hospital is beautiful, it's shining, the floors are shining, but we also go further to say, if the hospital is shining today, can we go and see the stock that is available to make sure that this cleanliness is maintained throughout? That is where most of the facilities are not doing well. We find that the stock that is there to maintain those floors is not enough and sufficient. But also, we also prescribe in terms of the equipment that they need to use to clean those hospitals, like the Juanita trolley, which is one of the extreme measures. In most of these district hospitals, we find that they don't have a Juanita trolley, but they use ordinary trolleys, because we believe that a Juanita trolley has been designed and built to clean a health establishment. Because the way it has been designed, it has got different mops, different buckets to clean different areas. So that is where most of them fail, because the issue of equipment and the issue of the material, we also contribute to the cleanliness. Cleanliness is not only about how the facility looks when we are there. We also go further and check, are they using the correct equipment? Is there enough cleaning material available? Again, this is the domain, honourable members. I will now go to the domains for primary health care, which is the clinic in South Africa. Again, it's slide number 33, and the report is page 177. Again, for this reporting period 15-16, when we come back to report for 16-17, we have noted a lot of improvement in primary health care. But for this period 15-16, with domains, what we've noted to be the weaknesses were the issues that were related to leadership and corporate governance. Because in most of these clinics, when we will go, most of them, they don't have operational managers. You get one nurse providing clinical care and also had to run the clinic and also had to dispense and so on. But I would like to bring to the attention that for 16-17, we have noted a lot of improvement in primary health care. But for 15-16, these were the outcomes. And you can see that it was leadership and corporate governance and also issues that relate to operational management in those particular primary health care. And issues of facilities and infrastructure, there are still those clinics that you found where a clinic is a one room or it's a two room or it was not built to be a clinic. Those, but most of them are clinics within the are run by the local authorities. You find these clinics in some of the in the Thekwini district where you get clinics that are run by the local authorities are the ones that are really in terms of infrastructure. Not really doing very well, but clinics that are run by the Department of Health, we've noted a lot of improvement. There's a lot of refurbishment happening, a lot of upgrades in those clinics, but it will be reflected in the report that we will come and present for the financial year that is 16-17. But issues that relate to the local authority clinics is there, is where we are picking a lot of problems. In terms of the priority areas, again, that is how they have performed. I've already indicated to honorable members that in most of this, the medicine is available, but what also contributes to this is the consumables that is being used together, because we have grouped that domain as medicine and availability of supply together. I've also, you can see that the issues that contribute to cleanliness, they also contribute. And in terms of patient safety, what really contributes a lot and what contributed to this financial year, it was issues relating to clinical guidelines and policies to guide the primary health care nurses. But for this current financial year, we've noted that guidelines are now available. When we come to present, we will also reflect what we have noted and what we have noted to be the improvement in primary health care. But for this financial period, by then what contributed to the patient safety and security, it was the issues that was relating really to availability of guidelines, availability of policies and so on. But for this financial year, we've noted a lot of improvement. We've also noted that they can now get those guidelines from the cell phones. They've got apps, they get those guidelines when they need to access the guidelines. So this would change when we come back to present, but for this particular financial year, that was the status. These were the community health centers that we have inspected. We've inspected about six of them. In Northern Cape, there's Fritz Fischer. Western Cape, there's Delft. There's Kananelo in Free State, there's Dark City in Gauteng, there's Driefontein in Mpumalanga, there's also Tillareyville in Northwest. But we've also noted for this particular period that most of them are classified as CHCs. What contributes to this performance is because some of them are not really functioning according to what CHCs needs to be doing, where you have certain resources and certain services that are there for the CHC. This is also in terms of domains, how they have performed. But you could also see that this is the CHC. Again, in terms of domain, the weaknesses are highlighted there as to what is it that is really the problem. In terms of public health, I would also like to highlight to the members, when we relate to public health in this domain, we really relate to how the facility itself engages with the community. It's more of community outreach, how they work with communities out there, the issues of community involvement in the particular health establishment and so on. And the slide 37 relates to priority areas, and 38, it was the overall comparison per domain for primary health care. But you can see also that most of the weaknesses, according to this, what we have picked rather than Cape, was the province that didn't do well in primary health care in terms of in all the domains, and also followed by Limpopo in terms of primary health care. Limpopo has got good infrastructure. Their clinics are doing very well, but it's issues that really contribute to leadership and corporate governance at facility level up to the district and so on. But their buildings, they look very nice. They've been revamped. They were crafted to be clinics, but they just have to put systems in place. What, in finalization, honorable members, what we have picked is that between the health establishment and type of health establishment, particularly for this financial year, the problem was with clinics, and between provinces themselves, there were persistent inequalities, and in the functionality of supply chain and oversight at all levels of care, in the degree of personal responsibility and accountability for delivery of basic quality care. What we have noted is that you go to the health establishment, they would always shift the blame and say, if it's a facility, they would say it's a sub-district. Sub-district would say it's a district. District would always shift and say it's a corporation. In the level of accountability, I've already indicated that it was clinical policies that we have picked for this financial year. But for the next, for the financial year that is ending now, there was a lot of improvement related to policies and protocols in primary health care. And also, we've noted now of late for this financial year in primary health care that because for this financial year, the problem was with the equipment. But now when we go to these primary health care facilities, we found that they've got new equipment. They are in the process of procuring the equipment. The equipment is there. Sometimes when the inspectors are there, some of the equipment is delivered on site. Some of the equipment is there. It's still new. But we have noted a lot of change from this financial year to the financial year that is going to end, which when we come back to present the report of the financial year that is ending now, we will reflect those improvements so that the honorable members can see where we are noting a lot of improvement. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Thank you, Acting CEO. We will now try and get some questions. But I'm just requesting a minute. The type of a chair that I'm seated on is creating a problem for me. I just want to grab a flat chair outside. Unfortunately, I can't chair standing. Otherwise, this chair is really a problem. Yes,
can the door be closed? We have got a crisis. There's a committee that is outside that have said they booked the venue for 1 o'clock. So we're in that dilemma. I don't know whether it's a committee, but there are people that are outside that they said they booked for 1 o'clock. Can you please go and address that whilst we are continuing? Can viewers go and address that? Whilst we are waiting, can we take some few questions, and I will humbly request, I think that pressure is a bit destabilizing my concentration. But can we take questions and then we'll get the response when the secretary is coming in. Any take? Honorable James, Honorable Khoza, Honorable Maisela, Honorable James Lungiswa. And can we try to be as brief so that we don't find ourselves having...
I'm always brief, James. Just to say that I think the best system of monitoring is one where it's done fearlessly as an independent organization, and that means that it should be independent of politicians interfering, including the minister. This is a comment I want to make. I think we would have a far better system of surveillance around quality if the minister did not appoint. But that's just a comment. So the big question for me is what does one do with this information? Because clearly this information must be used in a way of improving a system. And I notice on the clinics, for example, that the most important weakness, in fact, lies in the area of leadership and corporate governance. And so my question is to you is, what happens to this information, and how is compliance with improvement strategically managed? That's the question. It's both with regards to clinics, but also with regards to hospitals, where it seems to me we don't appoint good people to lead clinics, and we often don't appoint good people to lead hospitals. And the reason for that is partly with hospitals, you need to have a clinical background to understand how the thing works. And that is not always a requirement. I think it's a huge mistake. But my principal question is, in the cycle of change, where you generate very useful information in order to prompt the change and monitor that change, what effect do you have? I mean, do you have the power to, you know, insist that there is compliance? Thanks.
I have a question.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks the acting CEO for the presentation. I'm just having a few issues to ask for clarity. The first issue, Chair, it's with regard to management. There seem to be a serious problem with regard management of hospital. When I look at this report, it's only Charlotte McCracke where in there's no red with regard management, but both of them there is red. And when we have a challenge in management, it cascades to the cleanliness of the hospital. And then because if it is not well managed, then the cleanliness will affect you. A situation where even if I'm not referring to the report that we're talking about, when you go to our public facilities in hospitals, said, you know, at the gate, you just see that there is something bad inside. You are just reporting that when you are not only looking at the floors and the like, you are getting inside that where in we do not go. You see,
You are able to go there, but we are not able to go there. But the dirtiness that you are seeing from outside, it just tells us that inside, really, there might be a lot of problem because many people are not exposed to such areas. And what I would want to know as to how do you plan to improve on that? Because from this document, really, it's embarrassing with regard to management and cleanliness. The other issue, Chairperson, I wanted to raise is I've never heard that, but because you know the presentation is too long, I might overhead it. It might have jumped me. I've never heard you talking about the issue of waiting periods in the hospitals. It is a serious challenge. In other areas, you'll be told that we are in a queue and go home unattended. It's a serious problem if such things are not going to be improved. I also want to know as to if really you also observe such things, to hear from your side as to how do you want to improve in that regard. The last issue I wanted to check with you, if you are happy with the security in these public facilities. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable Mason.
Thank you, Chair. Besides the question of management and leadership, surely the matter of cleanliness is not capital intensive, and people can be coerced to comply with that one. They wouldn't say it's budgetary constraints to clean the floor. That if they don't have equipment, why do they go to work and say they are paid for it? It's not capital intensive. And we hear a lot about these budgetary constraints for the sorry state of repair or disrepair of the facilities. Every time we talk to the people, they talk about budget, and nothing else. But if they ask for a budget, does it not cover all these things that they intend to do to keep this everything going in a right direction? Or maybe the province tell them that we are not interested in maintaining the institution. We take part of the budget that you ask for something else. Or when you ask for a budget, you already know what you are going to use it for, and if they give it to you, it has to be in alignment with what you want to use it for. Or I would like to know whether they actually maliciously or otherwise ask them to ask for budget, and when they get the budget, then they start shifting it to some other areas where it was not asked for. Thank you.
Honourable James.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've been covered in most of my questions, but it's just my concern is very much on the CHCs, where seemingly, as my colleagues have already alluded to, that the waiting times, which has always been a problem in the facility, how are we going, how do you advise the facilities to better the waiting times, and also just to understand the waiting times for either for a file to get in, or waiting for medicines, or waiting for seeing a doctor. Which waiting times are we talking about? The cleanliness and infection prevention and control goes together, including patient safety and security. These are the most important things that need to be in order in every, especially the CHCs, because you must remember this is where our people are there. They are forced out of the forest. This is where they attend. And I think, I'm not going to go to all the slides, but I think that has been my biggest. And also, leadership, this, how do we advise them? To, and I'm also, I want to talk about you because I'm also thinking that in your next presentation, as you have promised, that everything is much better than what we see here today. So, yeah, but how do you advise them so that when next we go for the next visit, you can see changes and are there any penalties? Or I just want to find out how do you make them to change what, you know, the waiting times, the cleanliness of one of the cleanliness of the clinics, the CHC, the availability of medicines. I don't want to hear that again because, you know, the National Health comes here and breaks that day, even if the number that you can phone in your medicines are not there. And we see 46% and 45%. It doesn't really make sense, but nevertheless, I think I'll end it to Dr. Rupchev. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I think you raised something which is very important that as a committee you must look into, because you are giving us an inspection which is a year old. And we may be asking questions on an area that has improved as we speak. So this issue of we must look on how we will have to look into that and I think the department is here. I'm raising that because the last honourable speaks as if this is as it is, only to find out when the report comes that very same area has improved. The second one, the danger of a report that you get it now, because I've got that responsibility also of defending members. You'll find that we may have asked questions on issues that are here. Case in point is waiting time. It reflects, the member that reflected on the waiting time people are, whereas it is here, you did reflect on it. And also it's another area where you can think that it's still like that, but after a year. So I'm laboring on this point because it is an area there is going to assist us to manage or, you know, health is an emotive subject by its nature. And these things, we're not asking them because whatever. We're asking them because they are in the cold face of, those are the issues that make or break any health institution. So in agreeing with you, as much as Prof, you will respond, but I think there's this challenge that it's a year old, we're going to get another one, and now we are, so we must try and ourselves also try and understand and make and I'm just the word that is just escaping my memory. So we will get the response from you, and then but you must also suggest how best do you think, so that When we have to look into your suggestion and look into that. And I think Honourable James Honourable Wilmot, yes, they are independent. That they are appointed by the minister, it does not suggest that they are. They are independent, and I think we must trust. What is important is trust. We'll have to trust that they are really, because your statement was bothering in to say, oh, okay, fine, but they were independent, but they're appointed by a minister, and therefore their independence is questioned. And I do think that they are independent. We will pick up, there's a way that we'll pick up as honourable members when we do our work. So I thought those areas, I must just clear them off as you will be responding to questions. But don't forget, after you have discussed that, a suggestion that how then do you suggest that we take this forward, so that, and in welcoming the new deputy chair,
I think it's important that we welcome you, ma'am, as the new child in the block. Thank you very much. Over to you, Honourable Prof. Sorry.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Again, thankful that the questions have been few and short, but I won't take advantage by making long answers. Just about the management of the reporting and picking up on what I said earlier, I think it's, as is the word you use, more empowering. I think our reporting cycle, and I've spoken to the acting CEO, to say at a broad level, it must be within 6 months of completing our financial year. And we should give ourselves enough time for certain processes that take place. And those processes are that when we get the inspection is taken, we draft a report, we have to send it back to the CEO to see if they agree or they object, whatever it is, go through that. And so, and then it goes to the board and the board must clear it. Then we send it to the, in fact, we don't have to wait for the board, but the board also receives it. Then it must go to the, back to the CEO, to the head of department in the province, on the understanding that they will pick up the things that were pointed out, such as management, leadership, and if necessary, follow those particular lines if there's this weakness. It goes to the minister, but I think then we should include the chair of the portfolio committee as soon as that report is ready and not bring it up when we're being called, because sometimes it's a bit of a short notice. And this is just a suggestion off the top of my head. I think then the members would be empowered in that they would have a copy of that report when it's been cleared, way ahead of the time that reporting actually comes. And that is my take on that bit, but the detail can come through whether this thing is possible. I think it is. The other one is just about the issue of what powers do we have? We have indicated that we've been delayed in promulgating some of the set of regulations. Within the Act itself, there's provision for action in terms of either penalties of financial penalties in terms of financial things. We have not implemented any of these, and I think we still need to go through more closely, because if it's a question of management, then it goes to the head of the health in the department. But we have to point it out sharply and not just as a part of a broad report. So I think we need to highlight, put it that way, those areas directly and ask for what action can be taken. What we've been doing, from our point of view, if there's a poor response, is that we've been re-inspecting. Inspection, we make recommendations to the CEO and say we want this fixed, we give them a time limit. The institutions or hospitals have been inspected 3 times in 1 year or in several months to say within 3 months what improved, we go back, we liaise, but it's a time-consuming process, but we've had to do it on several, for example, Holy Cross Hospital, and CEO can mention many other hospitals. And where we have put our foot down on that, there has been improvement. But as I said, so far there have been no penalties. I think I'll just leave it at that and allow the other members to comment. Thank you.
CEO, thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I would also like to add to what Professor Mazwai has indicated, that we do note improvement in these provinces, but really it starts from the leadership from the top. Make an example about the Eastern Cape in KwaZulu-Natal. We frequently go and give feedback in these provinces. We'll write to them, and in most cases in KwaZulu-Natal, when we go and give the feedback, we also give the feedback into their executive management in the province, where the MEC would also come and say, present the results, and then engage with the relevant managers what is happening in terms of the results. And we've noted that also in Eastern Cape. We went there to do the presentation to the executive management, the MEC was there, the HOD was there. It really starts, because currently we're not enforcing anything, but it's really the commitment from the leadership on top. You get other provinces where you would write letters to say these are the findings, you want to come and give reports on this particular date, and you don't get commitment from the provincial office, or they would send junior officials to come and get those reports and so on. Limpopo is one of them, where we're struggling, and Northwest is the other province where we're struggling when we're supposed to go and feedback on the provinces. But in other provinces, it's the issue of management, really. And coming back to the question asked by Honorable Koza, the issue of the waiting times, we did reflect on the issue of the waiting times for both primary care and for hospitals, where we were indicating that it includes also in the hospital where a patient has got to wait for the waiting times, waiting for a procedure to be performed. We also counted as a contributory factor to the waiting times. We also measure the waiting times in terms of the hours that the patient take arriving to the hospital until he or she leaves the hospital. If the patient comes in at 5 o'clock in the morning and leaves the hospital at 6 o'clock in the morning, in the evening, it also contributes to waiting times. There are hospitals where waiting times have been addressed, but we have also indicated that for hospitals and for primary care, we also assess waiting times. And I think I've answered partially the question which was asked by the other members as to how and when do we measure these waiting times. So these waiting times, we really measure as to when did the patient arrive in the facility and at what time did the patient leave the facility. That will include the patient going to the admission to collect the file, going to be consulted, going to the pharmacy, and then until they leave the facility. There are also issues, most question where the issues that relate to improvement. We make recommendations to the facility and to the provinces, but we are not prescriptive to say you need to do 1, 2, 3, 4 to change this, because what has worked in Tigerberg might not work in Billinomi. I think the Department of Health is here. They'll be able to tell the honorable members what strategies they've put in place to address the gaps identified and to make sure that the issues of quality improvement are being taken into consideration. Because as part of what we have identified, the lack of a strategy, a quality improvement strategy to guide all the provinces in terms of standardization of improving the quality and so on. But I'm not going to answer on behalf of the department. I think they can answer that for themselves.
All right. Prof, can you please switch off your mic? Oh, okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And good day, honorables. I would just like to say that coming from the background of implementers from the NGO sector, it would be in the pilot sites for the NHI. Already, I think this waiting time has been taken care of. And I'm new in the department, so I'm not talking for the department. I'm talking for what is happening in the new pilot sites. I'm sure all of us now are able to get medicines that are being sent to our houses. And then those people that medicines cannot be sent to their houses, they can get from the pharmacy. And otherwise, we have what we call, the NGOs are doing that, pickup points. The pickup points is where people can come together to fetch the medication, and they are being monitored on adhering on the medication. So this is to address the long queues in the clinics, and I'm talking about clinics because I come from the clinic level. I'm not coming from hospital level. So it brings down the waiting time and queues. And then there are those people that it's a whole new system where they talk about fast lanes for certain patients. So patients like the elderly, the children and all those will have fast lanes, and therefore, based on their vital signs or whatever, they will be going through a fast lane queue. So these things, I know they are only where I am because I'm from Chwane, and this is the NHI pilot area. So whether they were implemented because of these complaints or not, but they are addressing that complaint. And a lot of people are no longer really, the clinics that were complaining a lot, because when we closed giving ARVs to patients and they went to the clinics, the nurses in the clinics were complaining, but now they can also verbalize the less of stress now that the patients are going back to the NGOs to get their medications. In whatever, whether it's in a church or I have, we work together with drop-in centers for children. So they come there and fetch from seven areas. So I guess it's better.
Okay, so that would be, yeah, from you, it would then be the department. If we are left with few minutes, time is really against us. Okay, Prof.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honourable members. And I'd also like to respond to a few of the aspects that have been raised. One of the critical things that should happen is that there should be quality improvement programs in the clinical environment. And I know of one province, Mpumalanga, that when I have my other hat on, you know, then they would ask me for technical advice to talk about how to improve the quality of the province. And even we at two occasions they had conferences about quality improvement, and I noticed also their figures have improved quite a bit. So that's happening in Mpumalanga. Then there are also the big problem of the 21st century is attitude. And it's not only on operational level, it goes to the top. Is that despite the fact that sometimes the Office of Health Standards would speak about things, and I think of the oxygen leak in one of the theatres, and that caused quite a problem for us, you know, trying to address that. Eventually we had to speak to the minister about it. And one can just think what would happen if something, the friction that takes place in a theatre, if there had been a fire. You know, it would run through the hospital, and the problems would have. So if we could just address the attitude, which is one of the priority areas of the minister, then we will really win. We will save a lot of problems that's occurring in our hospitals. The other problem is that there's always the financial gain, as what our honourable has indicated, that monies are given for specific and it's used for something else. And that's something that's happening, and I see this. I'm not actively involved in the hospital, but I'm involved with students and research and so on. And I've done a lot of research where we find that there are factors that are influencing patient care, and one of them is finances, budgets. Budgets are not used as well as should be used. So and the Marathon project that was implemented now in Gauteng has caused such major problems. But there are other provinces that are also implementing Marathon projects, not psychiatric cases. And I think specifically about the rural health, in primary health care, mobile clinics being used, where you require a primary health care practitioner, specialist, to go out to the clinic and look at patients and service the community. They are implementing nurses that are just registered nurses, and then a follow guideline. I know for a fact that these nurses are not able to understand the care of being able to do a physical examination on those patients and to be able to manage and refer patients until we have problems again with landing up in this area. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Ms. Santa?
Chair, thank you for the opportunity. This report, bar the fact that it's a year late, is a very good report. The content in the report and how it is set up really displays why the country wanted a body such as the Office of Health Standards Compliance to monitor and evaluate, almost like put a mirror in front of us. So we do take the report very seriously, but the department cannot be reactive. The department must be proactive. And for that reason, Chair and Honourable Members, in hospital services, there are key indicators that the Hospital Services Directorate monitors regularly to try and get hospitals up to speed so that by the time the office comes there, the hospitals have improved and the hospitals comply. But it is an issue of resources, Chair, and of course management and leadership as has been shown. So I won't belabor that. And when it comes to the primary healthcare facilities, that's why we are implementing the Ideal Clinic, so that we are proactive and so that the office finds better circumstances when they get their chair. We know from this report, even though it's a year old, and I suspect from my experience that a year down the line it won't look better, that district hospitals particularly are performing poorly, and we definitely are working on that. Chair, but just in closing, I want to remind the Chair of the slide that the office showed when it came to our facilities, where it actually showed that big troubles are in management and corporate governance and support services, but it shows that clinical care is good. I want to highlight this to the Portfolio Committee, because the Portfolio Committee whips us to perform. But I also see the Portfolio Committee as supporting us. If that picture continues, even clinical services will become red, because at the moment clinical services are looking good at dire cost to the professionals. Some of them will even buy their own stethoscopes. Some of them will buy cleaning material, and some sisters will start cleaning clinics before they start their work. And as the department, we take it seriously and we are working on it. But there's murmurs from some avenues that will say, but why do you need quality interventions if there's nothing wrong with the clinical services? My point is just that clinical services seem to be looking good at dire cost to our professionals, and this is why we lose them to other countries. So we need the Portfolio Committee's continued support, that we get resources so that we have enough staff to play the governance and leadership roles. Sorry, Chair, I just wanted to end with that, because there's always a fear of someone saying, but why do you need supervisors? Why do you need quality management interventions? Our core work is clinical work, and the clinical work seems to be good. But we will collapse if we carry on with weak leadership and governance and we don't have the adequate support services, Chair.
No, thank you very much. Starting from where you landed, I think we are all aware that that's what the National Development Plan has also highlighted, that the challenges in the health sector, among others, is leadership. And I think we will have to look into that. But the other area which I'm saying this for the second time to the Office of the Health Threat Compliance, I said it in Durban when there was a conference, the international, when everybody was talking about attitude of health workers, nobody is talking about attitude of communities towards health workers. It is there. I do visit hospitals. It is there. Either it's much better in private, because in private I'm told, if you say this nurse has said to me, I'm just making an example, that nurse tomorrow, your word is final. But in public institutions, we know for a fact that our people, at times, they look down on health workers, irrespective. Others are being assaulted. Health workers are being assaulted in other. It has been on newspapers, but you are not elevating that. And I would appreciate, so that there's a balance. It must not just look as if the attitude is towards health. The second area is that we will have to look into this, and as we will be conducting our oversight, obviously, this information is going to be very useful, because if we go to George Mukari, I'm making an example, we now know that the Office of the Health Threat Compliance was here,
and it we look into the book, I haven't read, if you say 8%, in which areas were, so that we are then able to make, and themselves also they know that if the office of the there is a collaboration and a communication with the Department of Health, the portfolio committee, and yourselves, so that they don't think that we are working in silos. I think that is what also we must bring in the mind of the. We will talk with the DG, with provinces. We have indicated 2 provinces who are not cooperating. We have to look for that responsibility as the portfolio committee to ensure that if they ask a particular information, they must then respond, because at the end, it is about ensuring that it's not about you, it's not about us, it's not about the minister, it's not about anybody else, but it's about those people that are serviced by those institutions to ensure that they get a better service. That is why there are these structures that have been created, and the issue of the oversight. Lastly, I'm happy when there is somebody who's just coming from, when I say nowhere, I don't mean not known, but who has got an objective mind to say, in fact, in pilot sites, we are observing. It may not be all of them, but if they can, there's a pilot site that is being elevated, that in fact there is a change that we have observed, and how best then do we ensure, and I hope Ms. Hunter, you have picked that up, is saying in Tswane, she is from Tswane, there is a change, there is a positive change, and that's what we really want. The problem is that we always hammer on the negative, and well, maybe the negative always overcome the positive things. So we will have to look into some of those things, and it's not very easy. It has never been easy. Health has never been an easy subject, but together, if we can try and lower our tempers, being focused, be objective, give credit where it's due, criticize where criticism is, and it's how we do that, in my view. And I think these small issues that have been, these small areas that have been observed and identified, we must take them. They may be small, but, you know, we were always told when we were young that you'll never have a 5 cents without a cent. So you start small. So I do think, Prof, thank you very much. We will have to sit down ourselves in the department to see how then the reporting model, so that we are not always a year behind, and we are frustrated, you are frustrated, and so that I think we can, but I think work is being done. We will have to ensure that we move together. I want to make one plea. I think I've got a responsibility. As you will be inspecting general hospitals, try and inspect 1 or 2 psychiatric hospitals. Because it can't only be our responsibility. You must also empower us so that we're able to make that balance and see exactly. I think you may have also been alerted by the report of the Office of the Ombudsperson, and therefore that is why on my side I'm requesting that if possible, I don't think I'm offline, it is our responsibility to do that. Otherwise, thank you very much. Sorry for the delay. We were delayed 2 hours this morning, and everything therefore will be 2 hours behind. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned until we meet again. Honorable myself.
Thank you.